Hey, folks, this is another one of our special live episodes. What does that mean exactly, live? Well, it does not mean that we are broadcasting live. What it does mean is that Max and I were together in the same room, which rarely happens, and there's lesser sound quality and virtually no editing for mistakes. So, enjoy! There will be spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers, so be careful, won't you?
Good evening. Thoreau tells us that most people live lives of quiet desperation. Rousseau railed against the tyranny of the ordinary. So many of us are ordinary people. But there are those few, those very few, who can truly be called outrageous. A few can be called truly outrageous. A scant handful in history have earned the title of truly, truly outrageous. But there is only one who has scaled the heights, gone the distance, and attained the rank of truly, truly, truly outrageous.
And it's not you.
I am, of course, referring to the legendary and non-existent cartoon musician, Jem. Yep, this week, in our series, Tops and Bottoms, we're checking out 2015's worst performing movie, Jem and the Holograms. This was the first Hasbro-based property to tank at the box office, and tank it did.
You're welcome.
Was it misjudged? Was it just misunderstood, like last week's Sleeping Beauty? Will it become a timeless classic? Will it be relegated to the cinematic landfill of history? Let's find out.
Yeah.
It's showtime, Synergy. I'm your host, Max, bass player for the Groovy Ghoulies, Levine, and over there, sitting in as guest drummer for Jabberjaw and the Neptunes, is Mike, long tails and ears for hats loose. Everything groovy, Mike?
We're going to go to the out of control booth. Sign my butt. Teach me to read.
I hate to wait. But before we get to this, we have, of course, our
poll question.
Let's start off with our Irish correspondent, Bill O'Nading.
Nar.
Who simply says, Batman. All things considered, Batman, the animated series, would be my pick. Bruce Wayne is self-deprecating, a pretty good but not perfect man, and he's pretty effective in the Batsuit, if you know what I mean. This version of Batman...
I don't.
Sorry, this version of Batman is not invincible. He's injured multiple times, he's a problem solver, and never gets overly moralistic about himself. A failing of later iterations where the parable aspect gets a bit heavy-handed. A bit?
What did you say, Martha?
Why did you say that name? Alfred is funny. The villains are both menacing and goofy. That's true. Gotham is shadowy and beautiful and dynamic. It's just all-around fun. I wish they'd keep on making new episodes forever.
Oh.
Thank you, laddie. Very kind of you indeed.
And I bet they will.
They probably will. And Anthony Merrill says, of course, it's Buzz Lightyear, the greatest interstellar hero of all time.
Oh.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Dave. I know that went on a little, but I just was caught up in the music.
And the Dave.
And the Dave. The man we just mentioned says, a tough call, but Tennessee Tuxedo
will not fail.
Wins as he is nominally the hero of the show. Okay.
Sure.
I love his voice. More Don Adams callback.
Mm.
And more importantly, he solves problems using his intellect and with the aid of a man of science. Well, he is.
Aid of his intellect? No, he goes and asks somebody and then screws it up.
He usually gets it right the second time.
No, he doesn't.
I say tough call, of course, because, of course, Chumley is the true hero of the show due to his affable nature. He is actually the most sensible one in the show.
Duh, gee, Tennessee.
Maybe we shouldn't set ourselves on fire. I wish I could be more affable like Chumley. And I wish affability were considered a heroic trait, as it can actually be difficult to maintain one's cool when faced with the wide variety of attitudes found in the human race. Wow, this went sad. But thank you, Dave.
I can't be affable because humans.
Mm. Steve Kellner says, Superman! 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 Superman!
I think what he meant was, Superman! 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 Superman!
I'm not picking up the subtext. I'm still not sure who he means. As the theme goes from the Fleischer cartoons, which also established a surprising amount of Superman lore.
True
flying, truth and justice, etc. I'm sure there are others that I like, but that one leaps over a tall building to my mind. With a single bound?
No.
Oh, well, then never mind. Keith Wright. Okay, this is kind of cheating. He says The Incredibles. I like the first one best, but I'll take any superhero movie. That's a team, but they're a family.
They work together, Max. Nope. That's the point.
I guess so. All right, I guess so. But you're on thin ice, right?
There's no Mr. Incredible in team.
What?
Trust me, it makes sense if you squint your eyes real hard.
Uh-huh. Here, squint your eyes with this.
Boom! Ow!
Matt Reisman.
You can actually hit me now.
Yes, I can. Keep that in mind. You're right within arm's reach.
Gulp.
Matt Reisman says, for TV, Robin/Nightwing from Young Justice takes the title.
Oh.
Okay, but it's close, and I really need to consider if my affection for the character in other media colors that opinion, which is why Green Arrow isn't the pick. Okay, he's cocky but willing to admit when he's wrong. He's friendly but ruthlessly calculating. Despite that, he still proves he has a moral compass and lines he won't cross, even if he wants others to believe that he will. I also love the wordplay and the laughter. A close second is Goliath from Gargoyles.
Oh,
cool. Yeah, Keith David. What a voice.
I never watched that show, but I keep hearing it was really good.
Yeah, it was surprising for the time, especially. Hmm. He's probably my favorite original hero for animation. He's a noble, brooding, curious, and tragic fish out of water. He's not always right, but he always wants to do the right thing. For film animation, probably Robin Hood from Disney's Robin Hood.
Aww.
The combination of Robin Hood and Renard the Fox folklore make for a fun, heroic trickster. Nice one. Thank you, Matt. Dan Schaefer says, Daffy Duck! Duck of a thousand faces!
Okay.
I added that part. Able to take on and inhabit any role, from Robin Hood to Duck Dodgers of the 24th and a half century. Always totally committed, no matter whether he is fleeing from Martian goons, swinging face first into trees on his way down a hill, or reattaching his bill after taking a shotgun blast to the face. Oh. A true actor's actor.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
That's a wrinkle Arrow never thought of.
Dr. Lauren Buxbaum says, I'm not sure she qualifies as a superhero. We never said superhero, we just said hero. But I adore Edna from The Incredibles.
Ah.
If she doesn't count, I'll go with Frozone from the same movie. Does Shrek count as a superhero? Yeah, super strength, durability.
Well, again, doesn't right have thing. To be a superhero.
Yeah, he's definitely the hero. Sure, good one, Lauren.
And he's strangely Scottish for reasons no one has ever explained.
Oh, no, it's very easy. Mike Myers loves doing Scottish accents.
Ah, just like the original, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Nick Hoffman says, the demon from Night on Bald Mountain in the original Fantasia.
He made me feel funny.
Saw it when I was six, blew me away.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's one for Chernabog.
Sure. Yeah. Ah. Chernabog. Oh, yeah.
From Chernabog to Tatum, we turn to Richard Tatum, who says, woof. Oh, yeah, I remember woof. Wasn't he like the wascally wobot
what wombat? Are you talking about?
It says woof.
Spell it.
W-U-F-F.
Oh.
Oh, I see. Oh. He meant it as an exclamation.
Or possibly, why do I put up with you?
Possibly an interjection.
Yes. Shows excitement and emotion. Generally set apart, but sent by
exclamation point.
Or by a comma, which feeling's not as true.
That's like picking a favorite kid. probably Daffy, but also I do love the Iron Giant. Very different vibe, obviously.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. That's run sort of from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Sure.
Charles Forsythe says, Batman. With the possible exception of The Batman, the best feature film was The Mask of the Phantasm, which was animated. That was actually really good.
I never saw it.
It is good.
I know. Isn't that weird? I love the show, but I never saw that.
Byron Ho says, The Tiger Dancers from Zootopia.
Of course.
Because they took down the Zebros in Zootopia 2.
Zebros!
Just kidding. Probably Simba for his eventual defeat of Scar.
Okay. Wait, Kimba?
Simba.
Kimba?
Shush! Total coincidence. Jamie Kleinert brings us Prince Lear from The Last Unicorn. Oh, wow. Because he shows that change is possible and love stories don't always mean that the hero and heroine become a couple. That's imaginative.
Yeah.
Tyler Stewart once again brings us Bugs Bunny. Bugs and Heima Bunny. And Wile E. Coyote were competing for best in my brain.
Wile E. Coyote?
And the moment I thought of it, like that, I realized Bugs Bunny won. Of course. Well, he is an Oscar-winning rabbit.
Well, he also wins, as opposed to Wile E., who doesn't. And all he wants to do is eat another character.
But Wile E. is a super genius.
Yeah, but he's not a hero.
No, he's not. Brad Albertson says, Wolverine from X-Men and Queen Chrysalis from MLP.
MLP Major is? League Baseball?
Well, thank you, Brad. I'm not sure what MLP is. Or Queen Chrysalis.
I know I should. I have this feeling. It's like, oh, My Little Pony.
Oh, okay. I assume it's the Friendship is Magic one. But
either that or Mulp.
Mulp. Okay, thank you. And, of course, from the cartoon lands in the north, where no real people live, we have Vince from Canada.
Stop that.
I have a huge spot in my heart for... You should have that looked at, man.
Just read his answer.
But I'm worried about him. For Mrs. You. Brisby. Oh, in The Secret of Nim.
Oh.
She's a true hero, and despite her fears, will do anything to save her child. I also love Bolt.
Which is
if anyone has seen it.
It's one of my favorite John Travolta roles.
I think it's the only one where I think, oh my God, he's adorable.
Yeah.
He looks like my dog Watson, R.I.P. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And I can't separate them.
Aww.
In general, much like in Sleeping Beauty, the hero of the film is sort of dull, and it's the villains that really make the film. I love Sleeping Beauty. Uh-oh. I saw it in the theater as a kid, and the villain is really amazing. No one else could be in the film. I would still watch it. I do not recommend the live-action version of her, however.
What?
You shocked me, sir.
Shocked.
Thank you, Vince.
Yes.
And, Vince. Ooh, over on our red-hot hotline,
oh, dear.
Sizzling with
flavor
and retsin.
Retsin doesn't sizzle.
It does if you heat it.
Oh, dear.
We have Doris Hempemeyer. Let's hear it, Doris.
Hello, Max Mike Movies. Hi, Max. This is Doris Hempemeyer here to answer your poll question. My favorite animated hero? That's a tough one. So I'm going to give you three. The first one I'm going to give you is Hiccup from How to Train Your Dragon. I like him because he's different. He's disabled and he still gets to be a hero with a big old black dragon. And that's really cool, right? The second one I'm going to give you is Kubo because, that's such a good movie. And he's so good, right? My last one's kind of anti-hero, I guess, but you always want him to win and he's kind of your hero because of that, right? And that's Bugs Bunny. So those are my three answers. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week and you don't melt in the heat. Oosh. And I'll see you later, Max. Bye.
Exactly. Hiccup from Outer. Yeah, I like that. He's definitely a flawed hero. He's not the kind of like, hi, I'm good at anything.
Well, the thing, too, is that he does not try to be heroic by beating something, right?
Mm-hmm.
He tries to convince people to change their minds. And also, they do something, I'm not even sure they've ever done this again or before in an animated feature. And that is, The hero is allowed to lose something to achieve his goal. Yeah. I really, really appreciated that about Hiccup in the first film. Luckily, they never made any more of those.
Oh, no, they just stopped films. After that
just
first one.
Just one, and so that
That's
was great.
It, one and done.
Yeah, neat. Mm-hmm. Nice answer there, Doris.
Yes, these were all very good.
But what about first, you, Mike? Oh, I was going to get you first. Yep.
Ah,
grr, ah, I'm even here.
You're even
and
here.
I can punch you.
Try it.
You know, I'm going to take this in a direction that I'm probably going to get in trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going towards Star Wars, which, you know, not itself a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually going to go towards a video game.
Ooh.
My number one is a Jedi called Cal Kestis.
Oh.
The reason I like Cal Kestis is he's the only Jedi who actually learned something. That's not entirely fair, but let's face it. The Jedi, for all their supposed calm and cool look at the universe and doing things that are right and good, always draw their lightsabers first. Mm. Always, always.
Even though they're supposed to use it in defense only.
Yeah. And Cal, I really like Cal. He's gotten the short end of the stick, universe speaking, and he really pulls himself up, and he does have friends. I like Cal a lot. Also in Star Wars, I really like Star Wars Rebels, which is one of the animated shows. It has a great arc, great characters. It does not rely on a lot of old stuff from Star Wars. The main character, Ezra Bridger, starts off as a whiny teen just like Luke does, but he really grows, and he does so under his boss or his mentor, Kanan Jarrus, who himself goes through an amazing arc. If you're at all a Star Wars fan and you've not watched Rebels, I highly recommend it. But I really like them because there's a lot of growth, and they're not perfect all the time. So those work really well. Okay. Speaking of not being perfect all the time, Max, who's your favorite animated hero?
I don't know. There are so many. I'm a big fan of Steven Universe.
Oh, yeah.
I really like him as a flawed hero and one who undergoes a massive story arc.
Yeah.
I like him, but I also completely understand the people who are voting for Bugs Bunny. Because Bugs is the trickster, he's the hero, and he's basically good-hearted.
But the thing about Bugs that's so great is, if you leave him alone, he will not bother you.
He does not instigate trouble.
No!
He is perfectly happy to just eat his carrots and hang out.
And dress like women.
Dress like women, play his tuba.
Yeah. And if you just don't bother Bugs, he's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you start poking a stick in that hole, well, you...
Of course you realize this means war!
You get what you deserve.
Exactly.
So... And the end result of Bugs is always the same. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, once the character he's been dealing with goes away, Bug goes back into his little whatever.
Yep.
He is kind of this mythological force of nature. Like, again, if you just keep away from the magic cave, everything's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yep. So, that's what we got. These were all great answers.
Yes.
Thank you all. But we want even more and more about cartoony-ish things.
We do.
Yes. I want to know, can you think of a cartoon show from your past that would make a good live-action movie?
Oh.
Yes.
No.
Okay, well, this may be an easy one then. Yeah. What would actually work as a live-action movie? And we will tell you our secret ways with using the decoder ring and a series of...
Email.
Yeah. I'll tell you at the end of the show. Shut up. But before we get to... the trivia, we have we have
listener mail.
We have an email here from Dr. Lauren Buxbaum. Off topic a little bit, but interesting.
Oh.
I am responding to Mike's comments about Supergirl.
Uh-huh. Oh, right.
Oh, Lauren, when will you learn not to pay any attention to anything Mike says ever?
Fired.
Ever.
Fired.
I happened to join my husband on the couch
in
front of the TV for a few minutes, not long enough to know what he was watching.
Okay.
There was an ad for Supergirl, and I was impressed enough to say, that's a movie I'd like to see.
Uh-huh.
My husband was understandably shocked.
Me too.
He said that I had to remember that as a superhero movie, it would be violent and loud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I replied, I didn't think about that. I think I was caught by the lead actor's expressive face and ignored the noise and violence of the preview. Given my otherwise disinterested attitude toward movies, the experience was novel. So, Mike,
okay,
is there indeed a significant amount of noise and violence?
Yes.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of figured not only it's a James Gunn movie, too, isn't it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a superhero movie. There aren't a lot of quiet ones.
No.
I can't think of any, really.
And there's some, especially if you don't like movie violence of any kind, some of the violence could be considered brutal. It's not Tarantino, but it's still, especially there's a scene towards the end of the film that some people might object to, and it's totally understandable within the context, but if you don't like violence, I would probably not go.
Okay, well, I hope that helps out, Lauren.
Yeah.
And I hope you waited until we told you.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't she? We have so many interesting things to say.
Why would anyone do anything without our advice?
Is anyone there?
Hello? Hello?
Is this thing on? But she got that information from one of our new segments,
yes,
which, as you remember, is called Seen Anything Good Lately. Oh, boy. This is why we don't do this live. You forgot the words.
It had words?
It's three words and you forgot them. Okay.
Okay.
So, Max.
Yeah?
Have you seen anything good lately?
Why, yes, I well,
have.
Well, good?
Have we seen anything good
lately? Okay, we saw Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe!
He-Man! A.K.A. the new He-Man movie.
Yeah, which is leaving theaters even as we speak.
Yeah, we actually had to hunt for it. We wanted to see it, and there was like one theater that was showing it.
Yeah.
It has been out for a little while, but yeah, it was in focus. Actually, I gotta say, parts of this movie are funny as hell.
Yeah. Some of them are really inappropriate.
Yes, and most of it is intentionally funny.
Yeah,
I have a problem with the tone. They keep going back and forth between like
daddy issues.
We're supposed to feel deep things, and then suddenly it's like more, you know, poopy jokes, basically.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah,
and then some very interesting sexual
humor. Yeah, seriously.
I mean, when Ram Man screams out, or somebody screams to Ram Man, "Give him some head."
Yeah, and there is in fact a character, and this I remember the toy called Fisto.
And what is it?
The running gag is, well, I mean, you fist people.
No, I don't. Yes, I do. And he's so proud. And yeah. So, yeah. I got to say, though, there is one actor in here I cannot stand. I really just don't like, will avoid if possible. And quite honestly, he's really funny. Yeah. And that is amazingly Jared Leto.
Or at least as his Skeletor. Voice. Yeah. Voicing the cartoon of Skeletor. But he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of the same delivery that the, He-Man version did.
Without doing that.
Without doing that silly voice.
Yeah.
Exactly. He even does the laugh, but he makes it more menacing.
Yeah.
He is a lot of fun. And yes, there is a cameo by Dolph Lundgren.
Did we check that that's true?
I did.
Good, I'm glad.
He's
we're both sitting there going, who's that old guy?
Yeah, he's the macho man. He's listed it as macho man in the gym.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's probably too late to catch it in the theater, and that's fine. It needs about 20 minutes carved out of it.
Yeah.
20, 25 minutes carved out.
It needs serious editing.
The serious parts are a bit much. Mm. But when it's going for the just, like, you can hear the little kid in the background smacking his action figures together, and like that's how he does the fight. It's like there is some joy in this, and there's also an embracing of the fact that this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It is this high, big budget movie about some plastic.
Yeah.
Because that's all He-Man was made for, is to sell plastic.
To sell toys. That was it.
And in some ways, they have not shied away from that. And Travis Knight, I applaud you for taking that into your heart.
Yeah.
So, is it a strong recommendation? No. But if it pops up on one of your streaming services that you're already paying for, give it a watch.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty funny.
Dopey as hell, but fun.
Yeah, very dopey. It is big dopey. And if you like to imbibe or inhale, all the better.
Oh, and just so you know, there are two mid-credit scenes and one end-credit scene.
There's one pre-credit scene.
Okay, pre-credit, mid-credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's extra
and
scenes.
All worth fast-forwarding to.
Yes.
Sure. So, yeah. So that was our little new segment that was sung horribly out of tune. So
we hope we can
back
help you.
To
the facts. So, budget for Jim and the Holograms.
Yeah.
$5 million. This is in 2015.
You know what? I think that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think they did pretty well for $5 million, especially that late, because that's nothing. I mean, The next film we've seen that's even remotely close to that was Deep House. And yeah. That was $1 million. Yeah. So, you know what? Good. For yeah. $5 million?
Yeah.
John Chu, you did pretty good for $5 million.
International global box office, $2.3 million.
Womp,
womp, womp, womp.
Well, huh. Yeah. Quick question on that. Had you heard of this when it came out?
I had. I saw the previews.
When we decided on the film for last week, when we mm-hmm. rolled our dice, I was like, there was a live-action Gem movie?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
This is shocking. No one except some of you young folk may not know this. This is based on an 80s cartoon called Gem, which ran for, believe it or not, 3 years.
That long?
Yeah. It was made by the 85 to 88, and it was made by the same team that did G.I. Joe and the Transformers.
Pork chop sandwiches. Get out of here. Get out of here. You're going to die.
Christy Marks, creator of Gem back in 1985, claims she had no idea they were going to make a film and was rather upset that Hasbro didn't tell her.
Uh-oh.
Her lack of involvement wasn't permanent, and she is given a cameo role
okay.
as the Rolling Stone editor Lindsay Pierce.
Uh-huh. Whom yes. you assured me
I
in the theater
was the real,
real.
I was wrong.
What theater?
Yeah.
Max's living room.
Mm-hmm. Which is better than any theater and much,
I mean,
well, slightly less chewing gum stuck to the floor.
Slightly less.
Following a disappointing opening weekend of only $1.3 million, the worst opening ever for a major studio film in wide release. This was in 2,000 theaters.
Wow.
Universal pulled the film after only 2 weeks, giving it one of the shortest theatrical runs ever.
Well, they should have just let it had some legs. They would have they would have totally reaped back that reward.
Sure they would have.
Plastic toys.
Yeah. Gem's original voice actors, Samantha Newark and Britta Phillips, who's a singing voice, they made cameo appearances in the film as a hairstylist and stage manager, respectively.
Wow.
And Mike was practically bouncing them down, screaming, oh my God, it's Britta Phillips and Samantha Newark.
I'd never heard
totally
of them
until
you just mentioned them.
Totally did, and he was wearing his Britta Phillips t-shirt at the time. When the film was originally announced, it was supposed to be animated, but later, for some reason, they decided to do it live action.
I bet it was actually cheaper.
Honestly, I bet it was. I bet you're right. $5 million for an animated is unheard of.
No, yeah, nothing.
The director, John Chu, believe it or not.
Yep.
And the film's creative team gave the fans of the original Gem show a chance to participate in the film by filming themselves talking about how the show inspired them.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
Several fans sent in videos with some of them showing off their Gem memorabilia.
Mm.
However, the filmmakers edited it to make it look like the fans were talking about the film's version of Gem, which sparked a little bit of controversy and pissed off a lot of the fans. The filmmakers defended this decision, however, stating it was a way to pay tribute to the fans and the original series while seamlessly incorporating it into the film's version of events.
That's interesting. I could actually see either side of that. Because it's like, hey, we want you to be a part of this film about Gem. It's not like they didn't know. So, but on the other hand, I guess they were saying, well, does this mean that we love the movie too? Huh. I didn't actually get that impression, but interesting. Okay.
This marks Molly Ringwald's first appearance in a theatrically released motion picture in 14 years.
Yikes.
Following her cameo in Not Another Teen Movie back in 2001.
So this is basically 46 candles?
Yep. Yep. A lot of candles. Aubrey Shea, a.k.a. Aubrey Peebles, who plays Gem, does her own singing in the film.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Rio's line, okay. Rio, a.k.a. Love Interest Boy.
Yeah, we'll come back to him.
Yeah. Gem is glamour and glitter, fortune and fame. That's actually a line out of the series theme song.
Well, there you go.
Nathan Moore got the critical role of Zipper by auditioning on YouTube.
Zipper.
And somehow that is just so appropriate.
Oh, it's so Zipper.
That's so Zipper. For the concert sequences in the film, the majority of the extras were fans of the original Gem.
Excuse me, I need to step in
here. Oh, you're right.
I believe you mean
background actors.
There we go.
They were recruited for the film. Ariana Grande and her manager Scooter Braun, who worked on the soundtrack, had cameos in the film as themselves at Starlight Enterprises that were deleted in post-production. They're included
Ariana
in the deleted scene.
Grande.
Yeah, maybe they didn't want to say, hey, look, this is what a real star looks like.
Shh.
Scooter was brought in with only 2 weeks to write a whole new soundtrack, as there were licensing issues with the original animated series that couldn't be resolved in such a short period of time before production began.
Scooter from the Muppets?
No, Scooter Braun.
Who?
Ariana Grande's manager, who is also a songwriter.
Oh.
And he did that whole soundtrack in 2 weeks. That's impressive in a way. Early drafts of the script included the holographic characters. Synergy is supposed to be a holographic character. And the atmosphere featured in the animated series, but they were removed from the final draft in favor of a more realistic approach. The working title for this film was Pink Pony.
But,
they did not check with Chapel Roan about this. Of course, it was before the song. This is because Hasbro was interested in Sony Pictures co-financing this movie along with My Little Pony the Movie, which came out in 2017.
Oh, I heard that was going to be live action, too. Boy, that had been a different movie.
Yep.
A lot of them cheese sandwich kicked me! Okay. cheese sandwich.
While it is not the first Hasbro property to receive negative reviews, it's the first to tank at the box office completely, unlike Transformers or G.I. Joe.
Speaking of which, I was going to say, it's not the only John Chu helmed Hasbro product film either.
Yep.
He did a G.I. Joe film.
He did. The casting of Shayna came under controversy because the character in the animated show was African-American, while the actress Aurora Perrineau is a light-skinned biracial woman who has a black father and a white mother. Her father, actor Harold Perrineau, so no nepotism there, came to her defense on the controversy, saying it's more offensive to say his daughter isn't black enough to play the character. He's got a point.
Yep, I see his point.
Yep. None of the celebrity character...
I'm not editing this. Just keep going.
No, I'm not feeling it. I'm going back to my trailer.
Go, trailer?
Here I am. I'm in my trailer. I'm not coming out.
It's a Rex trailer. That's a beeper.
None of the celebrity cameos in the film were actually filmed for the movie. Instead, they took archive footage, repurposed it, and re-edited it. Chris Pratt's footage from an interview...
They Forrest Gumped it. That's what they did.
Yeah, kind of. His it from an interview about the Lego movie the year before, where he mentions, quote, dating his sister's gem doll. And the less said about that, the better.
Much less.
The footage of Jimmy Fallon and Alicia Keys talking about Jem are actually talking about the cartoon.
Okay.
They even sing the actual theme, which does not appear in this film.
Oh.
And Dwayne Johnson's cameo is him talking about Taylor Swift's song Bad Blood. Now, this is rather tragic. Audrey Peoples plays Jem, was unable to reprise her role as Claudia in Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, due to her commitments to this film. Ryan Newman took over the role for the rest of the series. That's a decision that's going to haunt her.
Oh, this one won't. Yeah, sure. Sharknado.
Pazuzu's line, our songs are better, we're going to get her, is from the Jem title sequence that showcases the Misfits.
Uh-huh.
The Misfits are the evil band who show up in a post-credit scene. Ooh, spoiler. Also, if you, I don't know if you wondered this.
No.
When when Pazuzu comes out, it's kind of a big, she gets a big cinematic entrance, like we're supposed to know who she is.
Yeah, there was kind of that.
Yeah. You know who that was? That was Kesha. She was
The TikTok girl.
Exactly.
Ugh, I hate that song.
Oh, it's one of those songs you can't get out of your head, though.
Yeah, yes, I can. I evicted it.
She was a childhood fan of Jem and wanted to be in the film very badly, demanding her manager find a way to get her in the film.
It's probably Keisha.
So that there's other stuff, believe it or not, but
really?
I think that's plenty.
Oh, yes, I hear the sound of gem dolls being smacked together, which means we need to get to the plot.
Now, hang tight, folks, because this is one of the most intricate and original stories we've come across.
Sure.
Young Jerrica, wow, even her name is outrageous, is a young woman with feelings that she can only express through songs.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. That's new.
Shut up.
She lives in a house with her Aunt Bailey, who thinks she looks pretty in pink and doesn't want her to be late for her breakfast club, and her three ethnically diverse sister friends who have very distinct and unique personalities. Kimber, the little sister, is always recording on her phone. Wow! Shayna likes fashion. Huh. And Asia scowls a lot. Oh, and is apparently a hacker when the plot calls for it.
Ah.
One day, when Jerrica is feeling particularly expositional, she creates an alter ego for herself based on her childhood nickname from her dead father, Jem.
No.
J-E-M. Dad was a brilliant scientist, despite his crippling inability to spell. Her mom, oh yeah, she's dead too, but that doesn't seem to bother her very much. Dad left behind a marketable little robot named Synergy.
Mm.
That doesn't work. Until it suddenly does. Anyway, Jerry Jam records a video of a mopey song, and you'll never get... Oh man, this came out of nowhere. It goes viral, like the kids are always talking about.
Huh?
Suddenly, one badly staged acoustic song turns Jam into the most famous person who ever lived anywhere throughout time and space!
That part is true.
Yeah. Radical! Jem catches the ear of desperate for work actor Juliette Lewis. I'm sorry, I mean record executive Erica Raymond. Erica? Jerrica? Coincidence?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, Erica Raymond is the masculinized version. The character is Eric in the cartoon.
Ah.
Who wants Jem to work for her as a solo act? Jem refuses, saying she and her sister girls are a package deal. After the briefest and least impressive negotiation in music history, Erica agrees and gets the standard rich and famous contract ready for her.
Thank you, Orson.
We get not one, but two fashion montages. Montages, where the girls get their images changed. They're booked to do three shows in rather small venues, so we're not really talking the Beatles here. The first show goes amazingly, despite the power going out, and everything is clearly going to be wonderful for the girls forever and ever. But here's a twist no one could have possibly seen coming.
Uh-huh.
Erica is actually an evil, soulless corporate type. What?
Huh?
An evil music exec? What an avant-garde concept.
I don't think you need the word evil. I think it's just implied in the title.
Wow. Well, now, sure, but way back in 2015, this was... shut up. She demands that Jerrica dump the girls from the band, or else she'll tie Aunt Bailey to a buzzsaw, or burn her with 16 candles or something.
I already used that.
Yeah. I didn't. You'll never guess what happens next. The band breaks up. Hearts are broken. Feelings are filled. And then everyone makes up and it's all fine. And they find some magic MacGuffins and paperwork to take down Erica. And now Jerrica's love interest guy, Rhino.
Yes. His name is Rio and he dances on the sand.
Yeah. Who's been here the whole time, but... I kept forgetting that he was there, is now the big boss and will single-handedly transform the music industry into a wonderful place, and everyone loves Jem and the rest forever and ever, amen. Oh, and there's some subplot where the girls are looking for Synergy's missing naughty bits, and so they can get a holographic message from dead dad about how they can use the AllSpark to drive Cobra out of Ponyville or something.
Stop that!
The end.
The film...
Well, Max, I've never said this before, but I've felt it for a long time. You are my Hasbro. And it's as Hasbros that we watched this one.
Yep.
So you'd never seen this.
I had never seen this. Okay. I had seen one episode of the cartoon.
That many?
That was all I could make it through. Because back then, that part of the 80s was starting to kind of dry in the animated way because all of those Hasbro cartoons were taking over everything. Yeah. It was all toy-based.
Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
Oh, God.
Biker Mice from Mars.
Brave Star.
Yeah, with two R's.
With two R's, yep.
Yeah, I mean, by then, of course, we were also well into our 20s and possibly even approaching 30 in some cases. Yep. Maybe not meant to be the audience.
We were not so much the target audience. I will give it this, and it's the same problem a lot of TV shows have. I respect anyone who tries to write original music for every episode.
Yeah.
I mean, this has worked sort of in the past with, like, the Jackson 5 cartoon. Well, but they're just using the Jackson 5's music.
Well, they were smart.
Yes.
You also have to remember Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space, because those songs were fresh and new every week. Yeah, yeah. Or the Scooby-Doo movies when you got that hot new Davy Jones single. God. Remember the one where he's being chased by the giant frog?
Yes. Happy is the secret word. Okay. Yeah. So respect to that for back in the show. Sure. And this movie has a lot of original music in it.
It does.
But first, why don't we talk... Oh, you would never see the movie, and you've never seen the TV show?
I was a typical boy. That's stupid girl stuff. I'm not going to watch it.
Uh-huh.
So I did not. I mean, I did watch He-Man, I'll say that.
And now you...
I didn't watch it religiously.
And now you cosplay as Pizzazz. Who knew? How things have changed.
No, I cosplay as Basher the Orc, which...
Same thing.
No.
But how about we talk about our fabulous cast?
Actually, you know, if we can, I'd like to switch things up. I'd like to talk about the cast.
Oh man, that's going to throw our audience, but...
I think they'll be okay.
It's crazy, but it just might work. Let's try it.
Just this once.
Okay, we got Aubrey Shea, a.k.a. Aubrey Peebles, as Jerrica.
You know, I thought she did a pretty good job.
She's not bad. And she
feels like an awkward teen.
Except for the fact that she's friggin' gorgeous.
Well, let's put it this way. We don't know why she feels the way she does, because we don't see her in an actual high school. Mm. So we don't see everyone basically trying to pretend that she's ugly or anything. So I don't have a problem with that. I think for what was written, and we're going to come back to that part, I think for what was written, she does a perfectly fine job.
Okay.
I believe her as the songwriter, the songstress. I believe her as being somebody who's awkward. She has a couple of moments... I pointed at this out when we watched it, where her expression sort of falls into that Kristen Stewart line territory. But I don't get the impression that she doesn't know what to say. Yeah. It just struck me like, oh, wow, is she being possessed for a second? Mm-hmm. Okay. But no, I think she does fine.
Yeah, I think she's okay. With what she's given to work with. I got a question, though. How old are these girls supposed to be?
That's really hard to determine. My feeling is they're high school.
Except they never mention high school.
They also never leave the house.
No, they don't.
So,
she
looks like she's about 17.
Yeah, right? So 8, 17. The actress was in her early 20s.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. That way they can film all day.
Yeah. Okay, then there's Stephanie Scott as Jerrica's little sister, Kimber.
Kimber, Kimber, Kimber,
Kimber.
Kimber. Kimber the White Lion lives in Africa. Africa.
It's going to be that kind of show. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In case you have not figured this out, we are live.
Live.
What does that mean? That means I'm on vacation. So if we get screw-ups like the word vacation, I'm not editing them out because I ain't gonna. So
we're working without Annette or Frankie.
This is just to make you all appreciate what I go through every week, which is editing Max.
And no one does.
So Kimber.
Yeah. She exists.
She has nothing. She's there to take video.
Yeah. The thing is, when she has the one or two vaguely emotional scene, half an emotional scene with Jerrica, she's not bad.
No. And there's actually an aspect of this movie and those two characters in particular that I thought was actually really interesting, and that was the idea of dealing with a real versus online personality.
Mm.
And that is... potentially a really important thing to delve into, because a lot of people growing up with the internet, unlike us, know that they have to basically look good on camera. It's Back to the Future when Marty is trying to convince Dr. Emmett Brown that Ronald Reagan is like, oh, of course, they'd have to look good on television.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a thing these days where people like, anything you post will haunt you forever.
All eternity.
So do you actually present yourself, or do you present a carefully structured persona?
Mm-hmm.
I will come back to whether they actually deal with that or not, but I thought that was an interesting aspect.
We got Aurora Perrineau as Shayna.
Now wait, which one was she? The fashion one or the other one?
She was the fashion one.
She was fine. She held up clothes and said... yes or no.
She was there. She was in focus.
She was given nothing to do.
Nothing
to do.
Same also with Hayley Kiyoko, who is Asia.
The
Asian one in our group.
Please tell me, really?
Yes.
Her name was Asia, and she is Asian.
Yes. Yes, she is.
I suppose it's good that they didn't call the sister Blackie.
Yeah, or Brownie.
Yikes.
Yes.
Okay, she was... less there than Shayna, yeah. Which is saying
which
something.
Which is really saying something. They basically, most of the characters, except for Jim, the rest of the band are just background.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
And the rest, really.
And yeah, they are.
She
and
was
the rest.
There for the pillow fights. There weren't actual pillow fights, no. But there also kind of were. But yeah.
Hey, how about Ryan Guzman as Rio?
What is my note on him? He feels his name says love interest and action figure.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta say, he does a really good job of portraying a toy.
Yeah, and they do the thing that he must have known when he got the part was, at some point you're going to have to take your shirt off and show us your abs.
Yep.
Which he does, for any particularly good reason, but he does.
Just happens to be there.
But yeah, and he can sing.
Kind of.
Everyone can sing.
Everybody can sing in this, except, no, we haven't seen Juliette Lewis yet. But,
and to be fair, Mom doesn't really either, no. But that's fine.
And then we got our two big stars.
You mean known actors.
Known actors, Molly Ringwald and Juliette Lewis.
I mean, Molly Ringwald's fine.
She is she's not a character. She is a cliche projector.
Okay.
She's like Aunt Yoda. It's like,
Aunt Yoda?
Aunt Yoda. You know, believe in yourself, you must.
Okay. Suddenly I pictured Yoda with lipstick and a wig, and I'm like, what is this from that I haven't seen?
Well, oh, you just we don't kink shame on this channel, but you see.
Kink shaming Yoda, is my kink. That's a beeper.
Yeah, and Juliette Lewis, who at least is one of the few actors who looks like she's having a good time.
Well, of course they gave her that nice mustache to twirl. Yeah,
she is. I mean, we were just talking about Skeletor. She's, kind of this movie's Skeletor.
Kind of. And she is very thin.
Get that woman a sandwich.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, she's playing a kids' TV show based on toys movie villain.
Yeah.
And she's does fine with it. Although, the first note, because I did not know this show. I did not know the history, the lore, the mythology, if you will.
Yeah.
And one of my earliest notes was, so is Erica going to be the villain? Yeah. The answer, yes.
And then there's other people.
Yeah, honestly, there's not really anybody. Although, there's surprisingly few people in a way. Yes, we have Zipper. I don't care.
Yeah.
But it's literally like, do they go to school? Do they have jobs? What do they do?
Do they know how to read? We never see them read.
Do they actually interact with anyone else their own age? The answer, again, is no.
No, they don't seem to have any friends.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to that part. So, the acting is fine for what it is.
Yeah.
It's a teen girl toy movie.
Nothing about this movie challenges them.
Or us.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
We need to keep that in reserve for later to get to the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So the film opens, and my first note is, wait, the opening footage is all ripped off from YouTube and Google Maps?
Yep.
Because it is.
Yeah, they use a lot of Google Maps in this. Google Maps, I think, if not a sponsor, is an unofficial cast member.
I mean, could you imagine if they had replaced those scenes in Indiana Jones with Google Maps?
I know they would now.
Yeah, well, if they, in a later... Well, no, they couldn't because he's still only in the
60s,
but... It was interesting, but I have to say, we start off the film with this sort of fake documentary thing, and that is where Jem is basically coming clean with what we're about to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was actually kind of cool. I liked the idea of them like, oh, I'm doing a little documentary so you all know the truth of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It sets us up for what's coming. It lets us know, oh, Jem somehow isn't a real person, and we're all going to be surprised by this. But the real story, the one you all want to know behind the scenes, is this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, at the end of the film, my note is, let's see, I have to find it here. Basically, what happens is we get to at the end, Jem deletes the beginning of the film.
Yeah, she says, I don't need this.
Yeah, she actually, we see
really
her
undercuts
delete
it.
What we started the film with.
Yeah,
and it's like, huh? So, okay. But I did like the idea of the fake documentaries.
What did you think of the look? The outfits they put them in, the wigs and the hair colors?
Well, I'm trying to think, was this film... I guess it can't be pretending it's in the 80s because we have the internet and YouTube. But it sure felt like it.
It felt to me like what a bunch of middle-aged white men think teenage girls think is cool.
I honestly think that might be the theme of this movie. yeah. what a bunch of middle-aged white guys think teenage girls are like. Because yeah. as I said yeah. earlier, when I was joking about the pillow fights, that's about the only thing they don't do. I mean, I didn't bother, but you know, I hate to say this.
Yeah.
I think this film may actually pass the Bechdel test.
It does. There's a couple of scenes where you have named female characters talking about something other than a man.
But the thing is there's only one boy for them to talk about, and it's Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much well, to talk
and
about.
Zipper.
Zipper's not. They don't
and,
talk about Zipper.
And what's his name? The valet.
So, wow, this is a really interesting example of when a film can yeah. pass the Bechdel test, mm-hmm. and yet it kind of doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
The look is very much, like, even Molly Ringwald. I'm sorry. Oh, how you think? I never liked her. I never saw her movies. I just didn't like yeah. She seemed, I don't know. Molly Ringwald's outfits as mom don't feel true either.
No, they don't look like something she'd wear.
They look like something her character would grow up wearing from Breakfast Club or
yeah,
16 yeah, Candles.
Yeah, but would have long ago stopped wearing.
Yeah. So the look of the film, it feels, quite honestly, as artificial yeah. as Jem is meant to be, mm-hmm. which in a way works in the That's favor fair. Of what they're trying to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What did you think about the first song that she does?
There was a song?
My note was, it honestly felt no worse than anything else in the top 40.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
You know?
I mean, the one she plays acoustically that makes her famous, or the one they perform?
Well, the one they perform as the band.
Oh, okay. Blood, blood, blood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's
Sorry,
catchy.
Young blood. Whatever. It is. It absolutely sounds like something you would hear on the radio.
Yeah. I thought that her song Alone Together.
Yeah.
I liked it better when it was a song called Everybody Hurts by R.E.M.
Yeah,
Wait a minute. R.E.M., REM, GEM, is
coincidence?
That the connection?
We found another conspiracy.
Yeah. If you don't know the song Everybody Hurts, it is basically a song saying we all feel bad at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your friends, lean on your friends, stuff like that. Not entirely unlike Alone Together, which, you know, I'm sure there's tons of other songs like that. But, you know, it felt like a song a teenager would write. So, in a way, yeah. it felt
real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Some of the stuff is a little forced in, like
some
when they are finally dressing her up as Jem for the first time, and they look and she says, "What do you think?" One of them actually says, "You look truly, truly, truly outrageous." And I'm sitting there, my note is, they said the thing.
You know what? Made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because they said the thing.
They said the thing.
Sure. Yeah. There's some things in this film, though, and this is sort of going to be a running issue I have with the film, is that stuff happens way too fast.
Yeah.
She posts the video, and you see the likes start coming before anyone could actually have watched the video,
mm-hmm.
because the video of her singing is like 3.5 minutes. Literally, as soon as the video's posted, the likes are rolling up like yeah. crazy, and I'm like, you haven't even watched this.
Yeah, it starts rolling up in less time than the video takes, like you say. It's not how that works.
No, you never get reactions that quickly.
Mm.
Now, maybe they're trying to comment on the popularity of Kimber's existing YouTube channel.
Yeah, maybe.
But quite honestly, if she's that popular, why does she need her sister?
I don't know.
So, yeah. So, and suddenly, this well-known record producer, because if there's one thing teenagers know, it's record producers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
finds out, and she starts DMing
mm-hmm.
the channel
yeah.
to get Jem to be her new singer.
Toy.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yep. Yeah, I'm actually glad there didn't seem to be any sort of sexual overtones there, and I'm glad there wasn't predatory yeah. lesbians or
no,
something.
No, there was nothing, no sense of that. I mean, there's nothing at all gendered or sexual about the texts.
No. But then things continue to just happen quickly, and sometimes inexplicably, the main one being Jem and the holograms. Right? They could not
that
even call
to
that.
The end, yeah.
But they show up at the office. They're driven to Erica's office. And one of the things that Erica says is, "We're going to have to change your look." She insults all the girls the way they're dressed.
Yep.
And she says, Jim, you're going to have to take those off. The earrings my dad gave me? Okay, now you're going to have to hand them to me, and I'm going to lock them in my safe for no particular reason.
This is not like a plot on her part. Erica has no idea that the earrings are important.
No.
She just apparently hates them so much that she believes they must be locked away from the view of all humanity.
She doesn't throw them away. She doesn't step on them. She doesn't...
puts them in a safe.
Yeah, in a little silver
plastic
box.
Earrings in a safe.
So they take one plot complication and they lock it away next to another plot complication, which comes
that's
later.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah. And that's, I mean, if we didn't know this already... This is a Disney princess movie, or, as you all know, DPM. Mm-hmm. So this is very much a DPM, which means nothing really bad's ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to marry their prince, and everyone's going to be happy and fine.
It's all going to go well.
But yeah, locking the earrings in the safe, yeah. But also, when they get to the office and she's signing them up to the contract, did the plot of this movie remind you of anything in particular?
Every music biopic ever.
Oh, I want to go even more specific than that.
Josie and the Pussycats?
You're in a way closer.
The movie? What?
It reminds me a lot of the Johnny Bravo episode of the Brady Bunch.
You know, the suit
never did fit the shoulders really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was basically a record producer hears Greg singing and decides, hey, with the little electronic jiggery-pokery, we have ourselves a new star, which is not entirely unlike this. So, yeah, I had Brady Bunch flashbacks altering this thing. Of course... Barely a day goes by when I don't have a Brady Bunch flashback.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was just, when they meet Erica, Juliette Lewis, my note is, hello, I'm a heartless corporate executive, but I'm not evil, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, she needs a mustache.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah. So we're getting through this stuff, and she has all these obstacles. Well, not really obstacles. I mean, unless you can call an obstacle something you trip over, like a shoelace.
Yeah, not obstacles so much as slight... I don't know, rises in the sidewalk.
But we have this little robot thing, Bebo, or whatever the hell it's called.
Tweaky.
Peepo, or Peebo, or I don't know.
One of those.
And suddenly, Boobo. For reasons that no one understands either, we start going on a treasure hunt.
Yeah. Because they
Dad,
keep projecting these weird maps, and apparently one of them... I don't know. I think it's Spunky can read GPS coordinates. Or...
Sure. One of the sisters understands or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they have to go find these hidden pieces of Peebo. Or what the hell's its name?
Synergy.
Oh, Synergy. Right. It's spelled funny, though.
Yes,
whatever.
With an I.
It's the little Boobo. That's what
I was
looking for. It's the little robot sidekick that actually doesn't talk, but okay.
It's a living MacGuffin. It does nothing. But
So we're trying to believe that Jerrica's dad, who apparently we find out later... We're guessing had cancer. He doesn't say what he's dying of, but he knows he's dying.
He died of movie parent disease.
MPD?
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, early onset MPD.
Oh, it's really bad, yeah.
It's right next to guardrails as the biggest killer of parents in animated films. So he decides that instead of building something that will help his daughter, he's going to hide the pieces to something that will help his daughter. And only when she remembers that friendship is magic...
And, you know, the more you know.
Yeah. She puts them together.
Knowing is half the battle.
And gets these pieces, because this has become part of the plot. And the last piece, of course, is the earrings, which is the only reason they're locked in this safe, because otherwise we're going to have to end this thing a little early.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get a scene where we somehow pass not only the Bechdel test, we pass the Max Levine test, because nobody actually says, I'm in.
Yep, I think it's Asia actually somehow hacks the entire security system.
From her iPad.
From her iPad, across the street. With fake nails on. I don't know how that works.
So, there's lots of weird little plot things that don't seem to really... And maybe they make sense to the cartoon. Maybe this was something they did. I don't know. I will say, though, a number of other things that happened too quickly is all of this happens from one video recorded in somebody's bedroom.
Yeah.
Then they get to go play their first concert. And they are big. People are screaming. They have gem signs. There's all sorts of different type of people there. Mm. Mostly girls. That's fine.
Yeah.
They play one song, and they're allowed to leave the stage alive.
Yeah. Yeah. They play one song, and, well, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody trashes the place. No one tries to kill them. Oh, yes. And it's so cute, because the power goes out. And they think, oh, no, that's it. No more show. But no, Kimber... to the rescue, asks everyone to turn on their phones and light
Jem
up the...
Jem did that. Huh? I thought Jem did that.
No, I think it was Kimber.
I think it's Jem who did it.
It's Kimber, you bastard! I'll kill you!
Team Jem!
One of... I don't know. Maybe it's Punky. I'm not sure.
Oh, but God. One of them, no.
One of them does that, and it's really cute. And then they just... Oh, look! There happened to be all these acoustic instruments leaning against the wall. That's the other thing. The one she takes down happens to be the one that her dad left a clue in.
Yeah. I will say, though, the idea of saving the show by involving the audience, that I actually liked that.
That it was actually a nice touch. I don't know how effective that would be.
You wouldn't really hear her.
No. Yeah, there's no still no sound system.
And also, it's like, this is a cool club. It seems to be open air.
That's, yeah.
Real good for those instruments, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, really good. Yeah.
So, yeah, they do one song and then they leave, and I get it. Then soon after that, Rio starts macking on Jem. And again, we don't know how old she is, but he's not her age, and no, it's kind of creepy.
The actor is about 6 years older.
Okay.
It's not too bad, but
no,
yeah.
But there's one point where he does come out in a towel, and he's like, oops, sorry, I'm undressed. And it's like, this is really weird.
Enjoy my abs.
And well, she does, and then as he's dressing, she's, oh, I'll just peek at him. And okay.
Yeah.
Pikachu.
But they never do anything. They don't even kiss at that point. I think it's not until the last scene. That's it, because this is a children's cartoon, a movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's even... Things happen so fast. There's the whole, oh no, the band has to break up because Erica is evil and is like, oh, if you don't get rid of them, we own the likenesses and the costumes and everything.
And it's like, you haven't actually signed a contract yet.
That's so. The other thing. You have to sign this contract because we have you under contract.
And
not how contracts work, thank you.
And all, where is Mom during all this?
Yeah. Or Auntie Molly.
Edit, I hate to do this. We're coming up on an hour already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We started at 1:45 and it's 1:43. Yep. So even
the way it all wraps up, we're supposed to see this, oh no, now she's all alone and she's doing a solo tour and they dressed her up like Lady Gaga.
She looked a lot like Lady Gaga.
She really did. It was uncanny. Even the set was like a Gaga set.
Yeah.
That lasts about 2.5 minutes. Then she's sitting on a step. You know, they're all furious at her. We're never going to forgive you. Doodly doodly doop, we forgive you.
Yeah. Also, just the fact that they don't believe that she actually did this to try and save the family home.
Yeah. Because
that's yet another subplot that's in there.
Yes, which nobody pays attention to.
It's like, come on.
Yeah, really?
But you know what I can believe has gone so fast?
What is that?
Is our show. We are actually running out of time.
Oh, all right.
And we need to get to the end where we decide whether we liked Jem and the Holograms.
The finish.
So, Mac.
Yeah, how'd you get in here?
Ooh, I came in with the cat. How did you find Jem and the Holograms? I moved the potato and there it was.
I lifted up the recycle bin and there it was. Yeah. Honestly, the best thing I can say about it is it's harmless.
Yeah. You might even say mostly harmless.
Mostly harmless. It's look, it's not original. It's not clever. It's not even very good, but it's serviceable. I mean, it's machine stamped. This one made me think of this movie came out 14 years later than Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm.
Josie and the Pussycats, it's almost the same movie.
Ah.
Except they tried to be funny. They tried to make more of like a taking shots at the record industry, and some of it is funny.
I have to ask you a question here, Max. How do you know this film wasn't trying to be funny?
Oh, because there's nothing in it I could have recognized as a joke except Brad, the comic relief parking valet.
Oh, yeah, Brad.
And his band, Valet of the Damned.
Oh, I didn't notice it was Valet of the Damned. That's actually kind of cool. I like that.
I like that.
See, he was a valet.
They're actually playing his demo and Zipper's like, hey, these guys are good.
Yeah.
And of course, the mid-credit or end-credit scene where we get the introduction of the Misfits, which is, again, a little throwaway to...
Erica's new band.
Yeah, a little fan service because the Misfits were the villains.
Yeah.
Apparently. Mostly what they did was they'd come in and spill things.
Well, you know, that can be villainous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. So you're saying you don't recommend this film?
I really don't. If you have a kid, You have a little girl or something, or a little boy, and they want to, they're interested in the music industry. Show them this as a little fantasy, maybe. But there are so many better ones you could show them.
Like what?
That thing you do.
What thing I do?
That thing, you know, the thing you do when you do the thing.
Oh, you said you never talk about that thing, Max.
Well, but you keep doing that thing you do.
Yeah. Tom Hanks, I think we did do it
yes,
on the show.
Yes, we did.
I think there's a reason I watch it. A surprisingly fun and enjoyable film
yeah.
about what if you were a one-hit wonder back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Hanks, I think, wrote it and directed it because of COVID, wasn't it? Or no?
No, this was way before COVID.
He was. There was something where he was between films or something, and he was just like, what if I wrote a film and directed it? And it's fun. Look it up and check our episode on it.
And I'm sure there are others.
Yeah.
Could you? What would you say?
I'd ask you. That's okay. I didn't bring up that point. You did.
Okay. So, yeah, it's harmless. That's sure. about it. It's innocuous. It's like artificial sweetener. You taste it, and it goes through your system without leaving any kind of trace or residue, and then vanishes into the toilet where it belongs.
Yes, it comes out the same way it went in.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. What about you? What did you think?
My note at the end was the movie has some good elements in it, but too many to really come together. Mm. Time passes too fast. Nothing's developed. Character arcs don't make sense, even when they do exist. And that's... Yeah. I actually think it's kind of too bad they don't deal more with the whole idea of persona versus personality. The idea that we have to now be quote-unquote on camera and how that changes who we are as people. Did I mean for this to be a deep documentary into that? No, but I think it's actually an issue that's probably pretty central to a lot of people that the age would appeal, this movie would appeal to.
That makes sense. What did you think of all the little YouTube clips they threw in?
I actually kind of liked them in a way because I thought that's like, this is what the film's kind of supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out later that it's like, oh, we edited out the parts where you weren't talking about the movie.
Yeah.
I can see that would have pissed me off.
It would annoy
people. Part of me also felt like, well, this is one of the reasons it only cost $5 million because you filmed it. So, yeah. But the things that really just bother me is just some just dumb stuff in here that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they're putting the earrings in a vault, which may literally, there's no reason to do this. Later on, they have to, how will we ever get them? And it's like, well, your friend Rio, the son of Erica, could just let you in. But they have to do this Tom Cruise Mission Impossible stuff.
Yeah, he could just walk in like, hi, I'm the owner's son. Oh, go right in.
Yeah, he's there all the time. Why would this be an issue?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a bunch of just not thought out stuff.
Mm.
That being said, like Max said, it's harmless. Yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised that this wasn't at least somewhat popular with teenage girls. I'm not a teenage girl. Maybe it's very insulting and I just don't see it. Oh boy, am I sure. But, you know, the nice thing is there's very few male characters in this.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does focus on the women. It probably doesn't do it very well.
Nope.
Which is a shame.
It is.
So, yeah, I'd be probably better off just avoiding it. Like... Mm. The rest of America.
It won't hurt you, but it won't help you either.
But you shouldn't avoid is our poll question.
Ah, nice. Very nice.
Very rare, yes. But very nice.
Yes. What we would like to know is, can you think of a cartoon show unlike Jem and the Holograms from your past? I mean like your past, not just in general, that would make a good live-action movie? Because you can tell us this. You can email us at us@maxmikemovies.com. You can go to our website, maxmikemovies.com, and leave a comment. You can call our fabulous hotline
at 617-398-7266.
That's 617-398-7266.
Oh, you actually...
Operators are running for their lives.
You actually put it in your notes for a change, so yes. I didn't have to listen to you in your scroll wheel.
here in my notes, it also says, Mike, bite me. You can also find us on social media under
Facebook and Blueski.
Yep. And on many, many, many podcast apps.
Moo.
Yes, but we are now trundling through this tops and bottoms. Why do you keep laughing? Someone has to explain this to me. I don't understand.
Don't tell him. It's much fun funny that way.
I don't see why bikinis have anything to do with this.
Oh, boy. Well,
but now we have done the bottom. Of 2015.
Yeah.
What was the number one earner that we're going to watch next week, Mike?
Well, this is interesting because we've never done this to date on Max Mike Movies. And we're only going to do it because it only sort of kind of Well, we have no rules, so it doesn't really go against the rules. But we've actually done this movie before, but not on its own. It was actually part of one of our mega super special, chocolate I have to cut covered, this into 16 parts or no one will listen to them specials.
Ah, yes, that
when,
one.
When we did Star Wars.
All of it.
I think it was episode 100, I think it was the Star Wars
Yeah,
one.
That sounds right.
See, we're live. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, a three-hour episode. It wasn't as bad as our Batman, which was a four-hour episode. So, yeah, the biggest moneymaker for 2015, this will probably come as no surprise, was Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I want to do. We know the film. We've seen it. We probably remember it pretty well. I don't know if Max Wright has particularly sat down and watched it beginning to end. The thing that I find potentially interesting is there's been a lot of Star Wars since then.
True.
How does this compare now to that? And does that elevate it or lower it in our opinions? But it is, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah.
So we're talking, you know, more action figures being slammed together.
I'll get you, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So won't you slam together with us next week on Max Mike Movies when we talk about Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Wake up, Max.
What?
Wake up. The Force Awakens.
Five more. Can the Force give me five more minutes?
This has been a co-production of The Voice of Max and The Movie Wrench.